Blog Talk Radio.
Like I have 4 years, I'm in the living room, banging on the old upright, where my world began, discovering the music that the child I was, before I became the man that I am.
Hi, and thanks for listening to WAMS Radio. I'm Burke Allen, and today we're talking tunes, music, and the greatest story ever told about music. You know, music has been central to the lives of mankind for thousands of years, and now the new book, Music in the Garden of Good and Evil, is the story of the divine purpose of music. And we're talking to a real music guy. He's a graduate of Howard University here in Washington, D.C. He's been a composer, a band director, a minister of music, a clinician, a consultant, and now he's lowering himself to talk to us on the radio today. Welcome, Lauren Lee, to WAMS, and thanks for being a part of the program.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you have been tasked with doing something that's not easy, and that is talking about music in the written word, and you have a couple of books, Music in the Garden of Good and Evil, and of course you have a new book as well that is available, Music and the Star of David, and if you'd like to find out more about Lauren Lee and his books and his music, you can visit him online at innersoundbooks.com. So how tough is it to bring your passion for music to the written word?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a labor of love, I will tell you that. But it's one that came about really because when something hits you on a personal level and really connects with you, then you just have to get this thing out to the rest of the world. If I could share just a quick little story.
Sure.
I was sitting in church one day, and I was listening to the music. I was visiting a church. I was listening to the songs and everything. And I heard something that really shook me to my core. And this doesn't just have to do with church. It has to do with everything. But I was sitting there, and I was listening to all these great words of praise and happiness and everything, joy. But they were being sung over songs of death and destruction that trigger our emotional centers. And this is proven scientifically, psychologically. It's proven in many different ways. And it really struck a nerve with me. And I said, wow, maybe they just didn't know on that song. And they sang other songs, and they did the same things. And then I got in my car, I left church, I turned on the radio, and I turned to the gospel station. I heard the same thing, the same, almost a misalignment. I turned to other stations, and, I heard this on a pretty regular level. And I said, wow, a lot of these people don't know what effects that their sounds are having on their emotions. And it could be a little dangerous if you don't know about this. So that's what prompted me to write this book.
Now, you call this the greatest story ever told about music. And describe the book, Music in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Okay. What this is a very easy-to-read story. It's really a parable, a lesson that teaches you the effects of music on your emotions, the effects of music on you from a garden perspective, from nature's perspective. I find a lot of people, you don't like to point fingers at people. So, we'll put this thing in a garden and show you how different sounds represent different things by personifying fruit, personifying nature, to show you how sound works with the sound of fear would be akin to a deer hearing a human hunter walk through the woods, and that fear, they can sense the fear and they run off. And the Garden of Good and Evil takes you through this walk through all these sounds. And it's a very quick read, but what you get out of it is by the end of it, you'll be able to recognize, just by reading, recognize these different sounds of joy, sounds of fear, these sounds that you're feeding your emotions and the emotions of your children. They're very fun characters in it and everything. Easy to read.
You know, Lauren, it's interesting you say that. I'm the father of a five-year-old, and he, from a very young age, and he grew up in a musical family, folks who both appreciate music and play some music, has always reacted very naturally to the different types of music that he would hear. You know, if it's something in a very minor chord, that's the bad guy, or there's a fear aspect. If it's an up-tempo, poppy, dancey song, then he becomes very happy. And why do you think, or how do you think, that it is that a young person, you know, an infant or a toddler, can pick up on those cues? It's certainly not something that's taught. It seems to come from within.
It does come from within. I'm going to share a little secret with you. This secret is found within the books in more of a deeper realm, especially in Star of David. Here's a little secret. Now, there is a natural occurrence that happens when any object is struck. It's heard the best whenever you strike metal. Well, let's say if I took a metal pipe and I struck it with another piece of metal. A sound is going to ring. All right, it's got to be a note. I can characterize it just like if you sing la or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be all these other what we call overtones that ring with it. You sound like you're very familiar with music, so I'm sure you've heard this. But these overtones are these other sounds that kind of ring in the air over the note, a little more faint, a little more faint. Now, the interesting thing is that the reason why I think your son responds the way he does is because the natural ring of that sound against metal is a major chord. The natural ringing is that major chord. Now, without getting too scientific, if I took those same mathematical principles and of acoustics and physics of sound and everything, and I flip those principles, the what would happen is you would get the minor sound. If this is something of nature, this is nothing that's made up or anything like that. It's instilled in nature. I believe the reason why people react the way they do is because it is the way the universe is created, and you can prove that by hitting a piece of metal. It's been proven for thousands of years. But you're right. A lot of people react certain ways. Here's the interesting thing. There was a research study. A bunch of people, doctors, brought them in a room, hooked them up to all these electrodes to the brain, and said, we're going to play some music for you. But they didn't tell them at first. They just played some music and everything. And the receptors in the brain that fire whenever you feel joy or elation fired whenever they played this music, these major sounds. And then they brought them back in, and it brought another group in, and they played the same sounds but told them they were going to do this, and the same parts of the brain fired. What it proved was, regardless if you're paying attention or not, these sounds will affect you. As there's no gate, you know, that you can shut your mouth and you can shut your eyes, but you cannot shut your ears. We are designed to hear everything. And that's one of the reasons that really led me to write this book, one of the reasons why your son, if your five-year-old son, really connects to it, because it's at the center of the universe.
We're talking with music professor and author Lauren Lee. His books are Music in the Garden of Good and Evil and Music and the Star of David. And you can pick them up online at innersoundbooks.com. That's innersoundbooks.com. You have a pretty amazing backstory as well, Lauren, in terms of you coming here to Washington, D.C. to study at Howard University, very prestigious university, and pursue your master's here. But after a month of living in D.C., you'd moved three times. You found yourself homeless, living on the floor of the music building. And
yeah.
Things have come a long way for you since then. You've gone on to teach at several colleges, including Savannah State University. And I was a Savannah resident for a long time. Wonderful place. And so you have personally turned your life around. How much of a part of that turnaround did music play?
It was the entire kit and caboodle, actually. Everything stemmed around it. Whenever I really took hold of what it is that I wanted to do with my life, growing up, if I told my parents I wanted to major in music, they say, mother's like, well, maybe do business. Yeah, what kind of job are you going to get, you know? When I learned how to do two things, when I learned how to use my degree as a tool rather than tell me where I'm going to go, then I was able to use that degree to maneuver myself. They didn't tell me, oh, well, your degree does this. No. I use my degree as a tool in my bag of tricks. And so, you know, whenever I need it, I pull it out. I don't throw it in people's faces. You just use it whenever you need it. The other thing is I was able to learn how to tune my voice into those people who are successful. Then what ended up happening was it's almost like music, tuning in your voice or being in tune in music. I started connecting my little tuning in my voice to the voices of successful people. Now when I would go interview or I would go places, people just assumed that I was successful and knew what I was talking about just because of they heard this intonation in my voice. They heard something lining up with successful principles, and that's what they bought. It's almost like they didn't buy my skills. They didn't buy into that. They bought the fact that they heard a song of success in my voice. And that's why I found that it turned me around. Music really played a central part in that.
Professor, musician, and outstanding trumpet player, I understand. Lauren Lee is our guest today. And the books
Thank you.
Music in the Garden of Good and Evil and Music and the Star of David. And I understand from reading up on you, Lauren, that lots of music ministries are using your books, which are, you know, small and easy to read. And colleges are starting to use these books as standard reading. As an author, that must make you very proud to think that you're having that sort of impact on young people and music ministers all over the country.
It really does. I was very shocked on the response. I have not had one person who has read the book that has not contacted me about a dramatic revelation or change in their life from reading the book. They all do it. I've had pastors fire their ministers of music. I've had parents that were now able to talk to their kids about music because they had a basis to talk to it, not just being judgmental. They could actually speak to them and make sense to their kids. And their kids go, okay, I understand. You're not just being a bad parent. You actually make some sense with this, all this Garden of Good and Evil stuff. I see it.
You have a list on your website of the top 10 hymns of all times. And, of course, those kinds of lists always, they lend themselves to controversy. Where's my favorite hymn? But, you know, the top three on the list are, unquestionably, the rock of the Christian church, Amazing Grace, At the Cross, and Rock of Ages. Would you say that it is the music or the lyric that makes an all-time great hymn?
Great question. I believe that it is the connection, the marriage between the two. You see, without getting biblical or anything like that, there's a John 1:1. Do you know that scripture?
No. Tell me.
It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, I just use that as a scripture, just as a basis for everything in music.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and this is why I found in my research of all these songs, that they took these words, they took the messages, and they made the music align to the messages and align to the words. The words align to the overall message. So you have this smooth connection, the smooth alignment. And these, what ends up happening is that the music reinforces the words and the message rather than fights against it. And you can get very, very technical and make it reinforce even more. It's like structural integrity of a song being so strong and the message is able to really connect in a person without having any feelings of deception. You can imagine if I have these words of great hope and these sounds of destruction, your body could possibly in some way pick up some deception or some connections or something is not right. These songs are reinforced very well. They're aligned well, reinforced well. The message is good. And people want hope. That's why they voted in on messages of change. People want happiness. They want hope. They want emotional satisfaction. These songs deliver that.
And so do your books. The greatest stories ever told about music is Music in the Garden of Good and Evil. And the sequel, which is available now, Music and the Star of David, pick them both up at innersoundbooks.com. Music Professor Lauren Lee, thanks for joining us on WAMS today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit Lauren online at innersoundbooks.com. InnerSoundBooks.com. That's InnerSoundBooks.com. Now, go out and make it a great day.